Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
The Burt Show.
Right, let me run this by you guys, because I thought this was kind of a silly debate that I heard the other day. But maybe, Abby, give me a little bit of insight here. So there's a podcast called The Relatables, right? And it's two dudes that are sitting around talking about relationships and cutting it up and stuff like that. And one of the dudes said that his girlfriend was out on the town, I guess with a bunch of other girls, while he wasn't there. And she's out doing her thing and partying and everything. And when she comes home that night, she's got a hoodie on from another dude. Okay, she was cold. Her boyfriend wasn't around. So somebody on the street that she barely even knows offers her his hoodie. She takes it, says thank you. I don't know if they exchange phone numbers so he can get it back, but that's what I'm assuming or whatever.
Hoodies ain't cheap.
Hoodies ain't cheap.
That's a fact.
Over $100 right there, which is a good point. It's one of the dudes made that point also. So she walks back in the house, and she's got this on. He's like, where'd you get that? And she's like, oh, some dude, I was cold last night, and he let me borrow it because, you know, warm me up. And he's like, oh, no. No. So they started to have this debate. Is it cheating? Is it disrespectful? Or is it simply a dude trying to help a girl out that was cold that night?
So if you're sitting here feeling like, well, she was cold. What is she supposed to do? Come home without the hoodie on? Like, that's not disrespectful. Think about if your man came home from a night out on the town with a woman's scrunchie on his wrist that wasn't yours. To me, that's the only somewhat equivalent.
Because he had a cold wrist?
I don't know. Maybe he has like a man bun.
Yeah, maybe
he's got like a woman's scrunchie in his hair. There's not a lot of male-female equivalents when it comes to this kind of stuff.
But he was eating tacos and his hair was getting in his face, so he needed to pull it back.
Okay. So yeah, offered it up.
Yes.
But this is the closest comparison I can come to. You would feel so icky about it. And I get it's a little bit different because you don't necessarily need a scrunchie. You could argue that if depending on how cold it is, she might need the jacket. But if I was out at a bar and someone gave me their hoodie, I'm giving it back to them before I leave the bar.
Absolutely.
To me, it's very, I mean, it could be completely innocent. I think it's something that you could get over. It's something you could get past. But to me, this is very, very icky.
Really disrespectful.
I would consider it disrespectful unless it is snowing outside out of nowhere and you didn't know the weather was going to be like that.
Yeah, the issue here isn't the loaning of the hoodie wherever you are. Like Abby said, you need to give that hoodie back before you leave because now you have to reach back out to said person who you met at the bar, and there's going to be a second interaction because of the hoodie.
It's a really good play on his part.
Totally.
To get in and get the phone number, or maybe they exchange Insta or TikTok or whatever. It's a really good strategy.
I might be alone in this, but I literally wouldn't care. And I have come home wearing other men's hoodies before, but they're all friends. They're all friends who my husband knows, but I guess my theory is like...
Not a friend, though. Say it's a stranger, but a guy you met in a bar.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't want to touch their hoodie, honestly. I'd be like, ew, get away. But my thing is... If your partner's going to cheat, a hoodie at a bar isn't going to be the thing that makes them cheat. So just let them have another contact. Like, literally, if they leave you and they cheat on you, you are not the one for them. And do you really want to fight for somebody and put all these rules and insecurities in place to keep somebody who doesn't want to respect you in the first place?
One of these dudes said he would kick her out of the house if she came in with somebody else's hoodie. As soon as she explained it, he'd say, get out.
I don't know that I would kick her out, but I'd probably leave myself. I would feel that disrespected. I remember getting in trouble for this, being on the other side of it, because I let my girl at the time, her cousin was cold, and it was at one of my like after parties at a show, and I had on like this sweater jacket thing, and she was like, "I'm freezing," and I'm thinking like, "This is my girl's cousin, like this can't be a big mm-hmm. deal." So I just gave it to her. I didn't think anything of it. She was steaming. She was so upset that I did that, and I didn't understand it. But now that I'm looking at it from the other way around, if it were my cousin, I wouldn't have cared. But a stranger, yeah, and you came home with it, like you could have taken it off before you got home. Uh-huh. It would make me start to think in my head, were you trying to make sure that y'all contacted each other again?
Yep.
Did you not even think about how this would make me feel? That would be enough disrespect for me to have to walk away.
I guess because I hold women to a higher standard when it comes to these kind of things.
You shouldn't.
That I almost think that she should have seen through that ploy.
Yeah.
Like, I almost put, yeah, it just seems like women would see through that, where dudes would be innocent enough to go, oh, well, I didn't even realize it was disrespectful.
Unless, I mean, and there's we're making a lot of assumptions, and there's all different kinds of scenarios. Unless she was just freezing her butt off, and she asked him to borrow his hoodie rather than him offering up to her, making it a play.
Nah, call me. I'll pull up with a hoodie for you. a seat warmer, whatever else you need.
Yeah,
listen,
I'll pull up.
I kind of feel like the dude should return the hoodie to the dude and not the woman returning the hoodie to the dude.
That is ridiculous.
I love it.
Chivalry is giving someone your jacket when they're cold, and then you can be an adult and women and men can just interact. Thank you for your hoodie for keeping me warm. Have a nice day.
I slid my number in that.
You know the boyfriend put his cologne on and everything and gave it right back.
Now she smell like him.
The Bert Show.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, Cassie, jobs you never knew existed.
So I was having dinner with my friend Casey, and she was telling me how she used to work like at an agency in LA. And one day they were working with like, I think it was a movie studio or production house. And she saw this guy and she chatted with him, and he had the coolest job of all time. And it was his entire job all day was to sit and listen to music on Spotify.
What?
Or whatever.
That's it?
Whatever platform. Because he was choosing music for the movie soundtracks.
Oh.
And so he just got to listen to songs all day long, mark ones that he thought would be good, and move along. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You just get to do what I would do anyway for free?
And how do you become the chosen one to do this?
How does one obtain this job? I don't know, but it got me interested because another time I was watching a movie and in the credits, they had a horror consultant listed in the movie credits. So they had someone's full job is to advise movies and TV shows on how to execute horror properly. And I'm like, what other random jobs are out there that I don't know about that could have been my dream job? So if y'all had to have like one made up job, that would be the absolute perfect job. What would it be?
So growing up, I used to really love the Travel Channel. I was obsessed with Samantha Brown. Do you know who Samantha Brown is?
Yes.
I was a Samantha Brown enthusiast as an 8-year-old.
You're such a dork.
If you don't know who Samantha Brown is, Samantha Brown was like this woman in her early 40s who got to travel the world for free. So she went to like all these different countries and did travel shows. And I always thought that was the coolest job. So when I was in college, that was like my dream gig. I was like, if I could travel the world and be the next Samantha Brown, that would be sick. So maybe something like that, but maybe to make it more niche, maybe I choose like really interesting Airbnbs, and then I become like a cool Airbnb consultant, and I tell you who has nice clean Airbnbs with no weird cameras and comfortable beds.
So you go that route, and I mean that would be amazing. And I know I remember Samantha Brown, and I know exactly what you're talking about, especially from the Travel Channel. I just want puppies to nap in my lap.
Oh, that's cute. Well,
like, because, you know, sometimes you want a puppy and it's like all like, rah! But I just want to be like a professional nap lap for puppies.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, the nap lap.
Yes.
The nap professional napper
wrapper. Yeah, and then I get to smell their little puppy breath, and then they would just curl up, and they would just take little naps in my lap, and I'd be like a professional nap lap.
You don't think your son will have a problem with that?
He'll learn to share.
There are a couple on this list that might be up your alley then, because one of them is an ostrich babysitter.
Shut up.
You babysit baby ostriches to make sure that they don't peck at each other, and that's your whole job.
Actually, that sounds like my nightmare job. Like birds pecking at my face or birds pecking at each other. Niche fear.
Yeah, not much of a Hitchcock fan, huh?
Please.
No.
Abby doesn't want anything pecking at her face.
Keep your pecker away from me.
Professional sleeper is one of them.
Okay.
They try beds in hotels.
Oh.
Full-time Netflix watcher.
Oh,
their job is to watch Netflix full-time and advise on different categories. Professional mermaid is legitimately one. You could also be a legal bank robber. Like banks will hire these people to make sure their vaults are impenetrable. A professional mourner. People will literally hire professional mourners for family members' funerals to make their family member look better than they were.
You're lying.
I'm not. That's alongside professional bridesmaid, which is legit, and professional boyfriend. Like, if you needed to bring a guy home to your parents to impress them, you can hire a professional boyfriend.
That is called an escort.
Yeah, I guess it is.
It is 100% an escort.
Professional apologizer, which I feel like all women already are.
Yeah.
Professional snuggler. You can hire people to snuggle you by the hour.
It's also in the escort category, I think.
Professional paper towel sniffer to make sure they smell good. But these two last ones are my favorite. Iceberg mover. They literally track icebergs and will come in and move them out of the way of the ships. And zombie. You could be a professional zombie.
The Titanic is like, where was this 70 years ago?
I think that's why career became.
So are hairy armpits really that big of an offense that you would break up with somebody over them? That's the issue Kate is dealing with right now. Hey, Kate, thanks so much for joining the Burt Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, all right. So detail what's going on with this new guy you're dating and the fact that he is very much against your hairy armpits.
So I'm dating the most amazing man. He checks every single one of my boxes.
I bet he does.
We've been dating for a couple of months. And honestly, we really hit it off. But there is just like one thing about me he absolutely cannot stand. And I don't know if I'm willing to change it for me. I'm just not sure.
All right. And what is that thing?
So, you know, I'm a natural girly, right? I'm really all about the natural products. I try to only use natural products. I'm all about being organic. And I embraced the vegan lifestyle like a couple of years ago. And, you know, my guy is really cool with all that. But he is not cool with my armpits and the fact that there's hair under there. Like, how old are we? You know, It's summer and it's blazing hot. So, of course, you know, I've been wearing some tank tops and we've hit the pool once. A couple of times. And obviously, like I said, I have armpit hair and I'm not trying to hide it. And I'm also not trying to show it off at the same time. It is what it is. So the other night he flat out told me, like, listen, I really, really like you, but this whole armpit hair thing is really throwing me. I'm not sure if I can get past it. Would you be willing to shave? First of all, even though I was really, really like pissed, upset, I suppressed my anger and I told him, you know, I'd think about it. Like, I'm mature, I can put it aside. But the more I thought about it, you know, I'm like, upset. For me, choosing to grow out my underarm hair is a small way of reclaiming my body. And in the face of misogynistic beauty standards, I do it for me. The moment I realized I was shaving my armpits for men was the moment I stopped. So why would I let this guy choose that, you know? He doesn't seem to have an issue with my bush, but it's both.
Okay.
Good morning.
You know, make it make sense.
TMI.
Make it make sense, Mo.
All that hair.
Well, I think I've learned in listening to people that my take on relationships and sacrificing for relationships are a little different. I'm usually more so willing to do things for my partner because I just feel like that's a part of being in a relationship. And not everything, obviously. Some things is like I got to put my foot down. But other things, this wouldn't really be a big deal for me, to be honest. Like, would I be attracted to it? Probably not. I would probably want the same thing that he does, but it's something that I would have gone into understanding. But for me, it just feels like if you really like him that much, if he checks all of the boxes, I don't see the big deal in you shaving it just to satisfy him.
I think that we have to remember that people are kind of taught growing up that armpit hair is gross. And so I don't really
blame your dude so much because this is a lesson he's learned since he was a child. And I appreciate his communication with you, honestly. Like, he could have just said nothing. He could have been petulant about it. And he's openly communicating with you. At the same time, I have your back about not shaving for misogynistic beauty standards. You should do it for yourself. And that's important to you. So now you're at this crossroads where it's really important to you and it's important to him, and he's communicating. If this is a hill that you're willing to die on and he can't get down with it, then it's not the right relationship for you. Mm. However, if you were to shave, I would say change your perspective a little bit. You're not shaving your armpits for men. You're shaving your armpits for a specific person who you like a lot, who has expressed a thing, right? I don't know if I can get past this. If you're willing to say, well, that's an easy little change that I can make to smooth the way, and that will be my way of compromising with you, then go for it. But if he continues to ask you to change yourself, that's where you draw the line. So it's whether or not you want to dip the pool in, your toe in that pool, and if you feel like you're sacrificing your values.
I also would put it like this. If he had a beard and you hated beards, like that just wasn't your thing, it irritated you have sensitive skin, it irritated your skin every time you kissed or made out or whatever. If you asked him to shave his beard, do you think he would do it?
I do. And at the same time, I also want to say he also has hair under his armpits.
Ooh. So be like, I'll shave mine if you shave yours.
That's different. If I had a mustache and he really wanted, you know, he just, you know, it was brushing up against his lips, it was making him feel uncomfortable, that I can understand. But, you know, I'm still on the fence.
Yeah, I think the difference between the beard argument and the underarm hair argument is this clearly is a representation of your values. And I would hate for you to shave and feel like you're getting like you're somehow compromising a part of yourself that's deeper than just armpit hair. But I'm with Cassie, where I'm also kind of like, take a step back and realize, like, you don't have to compromise your, like, your entire being just because you want to lean more towards a preference for somebody that you really care about. So I think if it's going to make you feel like you're compromising yourself, don't do it. But also, like, you know, take a step back and realize, like, this could just be something you do for somebody that you really like. Because trust me, girl, it's tough out here in the streets. Just what's going to be harder, finding another man or just shaving the pits?
Thanks. No, I don't know.
The Bird Show.
Our producer, Rebecca, is worthy of love, and she is worthy of a relationship.
Tell them
with somebody else in this studio.
Yeah, I've been looking for love in all the wrong places, a.k.a. The Bird Show's comment section on Facebook.
Yeah, that's the last place to look for love.
Yeah, I'm not hurt. I'm just disappointed. Am I not sexy? Am I not tantalizing? I haven't been shipped by any Bird Show fam in the 3 years that I've worked here, and I am the only one.
Literally everybody else on staff has been shipped with somebody else.
Every single person. Some people, weekly I see these comments.
Mm-hmm. Are you serious?
Oh, Kristen and Bert, Abby and Mikey, yeah. Abby and Jackson actually is picking up, too.
Abby, you got to pick one.
Yeah.
So great. Yes. I need people to stop shipping me with people with girlfriends. I need to, let's find a single Bert Show member.
Yeah, it doesn't matter your orientation. It doesn't matter your relationship. If you have lips and you're on air, they will ship you. Mm-hmm. Except for me.
Yeah.
Wait, has Tommy's been shipped with somebody?
So Tommy has been said to have a crush on you.
God, that's right. I forgot about that.
You're so wanted in here.
I know. I can't.
Tommy and I have been fighting over you.
Who was that?
Non-verbally for you.
Crazy person.
You know you love me, you little bitch.
All right, so it's almost offensive. Like, how could everybody be shipped on the show except Rebecca? Abby was putting an end to this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So you were so kind to write me some fan fiction to soften the blow of me getting rejected by my top celeb crush. And you did such a good job that I felt like it was only fair for you, for me to write you an entire fan fiction about the ship that everybody in the Bird Show family wants for you. So I asked people yesterday, I'm like, give me a DM. Tell me who you ship Rebecca with, and I'll write a fan fiction around that.
Does anybody secretly wish it's them?
Oh! Mm-hmm.
Like, do you hope you're the one that she ships Rebecca, you know, like ships you with Rebecca?
I hadn't thought about it.
I thought about it yesterday, and I'm like, I really hope Abby picks me.
This is one competitive woman. Right?
Well, I will say there was not necessarily one person that people shipped Rebecca with, but there was a trend in every single message that I got from people, and I did weave it into my story, and I'll leave it up to you as I read my fan fiction for Rebecca, captivated by my coworkers. Tropes, bad boys and good girl, friends to lovers, and office romance. Rebecca had been up early, working in the back studio, firing back at trolls on the Burt Show Facebook page. She was in the middle of telling Kristen's biggest troll, Elaine, that she looks like she reads at a third grade level, when the room plunged into complete and total darkness.
Is it an engineer?
Rebecca stood up to find a power switch when she felt someone slam into her. Oh, Rebecca exclaimed softly as she fell to the floor with the kind of dexterity only someone who wears platform Crocs could have. Sorry, said the stranger. The voice was familiar, but distorted thanks to a lingering ear infection. She then felt something next to her arm, a wide-brim ball cap with the show name written on it. Is this yours? She asked, passing the hat to the mysterious stranger. Yes, thank you, they replied. The person didn't move away. Instead, they reached out, brushing a strand of hair from Rebecca's face, their touch lingering just a moment longer than necessary. Instinctually, Rebecca pulled back, not because this person was a total stranger in the dark and could actually be a murderer, but this was not very brat summer of her to be making googly eyes at a potential love interest. Mm. Clearly dejected, the ball cap wearing stranger stood up and disappeared down the hallway. A few hours later, she eagerly recounted the story to her coworker, Katie, as they prepared for the show. You won't believe what happened this morning, Rebecca said, her voice tinged with excitement. I bumped into someone when the power went out, and the only thing I could tell was that they were wearing a Burt Show hat. But with this pesky ear infection, I couldn't recognize the voice. Katie's eyes narrowed slightly. Well, did you see who it was? Rebecca smiled to soften the moment. Talking about things like this was hard with Katie, as there had always been an air of underlying sexual tension between the two since they both liked women and therefore must consider each other a viable romantic option. No, but it felt special, you know? I don't think it was Tommy. He's been coming in much later ever since his wife found a lucrative career selling feet pics. And Abby hasn't worn
pastor pics, okay.
And Abby hasn't worn a hat since the engineers stopped trying to freeze us alive in here. So that leaves. Katie glanced around the room. Could it be Bert? She asked. But then her gaze landed on Mo, who was always known for wearing hats. Or Mo?
You wouldn't be caught dead wearing a Burt Show.
You had to say it like that.
Sorry. Just as Rebecca was about to consider the possibilities, Kaylee walked in and casually adjusted a Burt Show hat on his head. What's up? Kaylee asked.
Your impersonation is so on point.
His eyes twinkling with amusement. Rebecca's heart skipped a beat. She exchanged a look with Katie, who seemed just as surprised and disappointed, as she and Rebecca had already discussed potential sperm donors for their children, as is customary for two members of the LGBTQ+ community to do if they've even considered dating the other person. Rebecca realized she might never know for sure who had shared that fleeting moment with her in the dark. And as Rebecca stole another glance at Bert, Mo, Katie, Kaylee, and hell, even Tommy, she couldn't help but hope for another chance encounter.
Did you really need to throw that in? Kind of insulting.
Even.
Oh, hell, even Tommy.
Or at the very least, a captivating office romance.
Wow. There you have it. There you have it.
Kaylee.
No, it's up to the reader's interpretation. Everybody messaged me and they never just shipped you with one person. They gave me like a list of people to ship you with, or a lot of people wanted to see you in a throuple. So maybe you, Katie and Kaylee, will get some Stockholm syndrome back there.
Is it just me, or does anybody else want a chapter 2?
I wouldn't mind.
That's so flattering.
It was pretty damn good.
I would be lying if I said I didn't have ideas for chapter two.
Can we do a chapter two tomorrow?
I'll do chapter two tomorrow. All right.
You know the Burt Show saying, never leave them wanting more.
The Burt Show.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I got an interesting DM from a Burt Show listener trying to give me a different perspective on my attitude on the video that we played yesterday of the 22, 23-year-old in New York City that was really stressed out and crying on TikTok because this is her, like, first 9-to-5 job in New York City, and nothing seems to be falling into place for her. She's totally stressed out by this new job. She's having a tough time getting on the train. She doesn't have any time for any extracurricular or any fun. And she just really feels like her life is falling apart right now, right? So we listened to that video yesterday. And then I think we got into, like, this healthy debate because Cassie has a very different attitude about that video than I did. I'm a big fan of grit and paying your dues. And Cassie's like, hold on a second.
I just, for me, like, looking back at it, companies generally don't work that way. It used to be you paid your dues because you would invest in the company and they'd invest in you back. And that loyalty for most companies, I think, Bert, honestly, the way you run your business is very different from mega corporations. It isn't there anymore. You're supposed to switch jobs. And I think there's a realization that, why am I pouring all my time into working for this company where I have no life of my own? And I'm not saying don't work, and I'm not saying don't give 100% when you work. Like, let me be very clear. If you get paid to do a job, you do it and you do it well. But why am I giving my entire life to this company that does not give a crap about me, is going to lay me off whenever they want, and I have no life, and I'm just making money for somebody else? And so it's a reinvestment in, what do I want out of my life? And my job is what funds my life.
Yeah, and I can feel that. And I do, I hate big business. And you know this. We all work together on a couple of different projects. Cassie is part of Pioneer Network, and she's also part of the Burt Show. I hate big business because of that. How, like, I hate running a business as though you're a number, or I hate big businesses that do that. We have a very tight family here. Take a day off. Something's going on in your life. You do what you got to do. I understand that work doesn't have to be first all the time. But I also know that I have hired people that respect that, that they work so hard that I never have to say work harder. You guys are working harder than I am.
And they don't take advantage of the system.
Right. Uh-huh. So this is the DM I got. And believe it or not, I do listen to you guys in DMs. And when you give me something to really chew on, I like chewing on it. So here you go. Listening to your break today about the young woman on TikTok who just started working and realized it sucks. She says to me, you seem to have a deep obsession with paying your dues and grit. I'm a hardworking person who also values independence. However, you seem to value hard work and grit more than you value happiness. When these kinds of conversations come up, and it seems like there's no room for change in our society for you, paying people for internships, working less hours, taking easier paths, always seems to turn you off. I do think you have to learn some lessons through experience, but I don't think you have to sacrifice, capital letters, years of your life in misery to do so. Can't there be a balance without implying these people weak for thinking our societal norms are trash? She says, I don't know, just a thought. I guess what I mean is that you don't have to suffer to be happy and or successful. All right. So what do you guys think about that?
I think there's something to be said, because I know that you worked very hard to get to where you are today. I'm sorry, my voice is giving out today. I know that when you work hard and you had to put in years and years and years of grit, sometimes when you see other people have a little bit of an easier time or get cut a little bit more slack, sometimes it can really rub you the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to that because I do feel like I've put in the work, but I can understand that you want people to experience the same kind of pain for the same kind of success. So I feel like maybe that's why you tend to grab onto the grit a little bit.
I think that says a lot, too, about how people responded to the whole idea of people's student loans getting paid off. And those people who had to pay their student loans was like, no, make them pay. I'm like, why wouldn't you want somebody like, yeah, it would have been nice if they would have done it for us, but they didn't. Why not try to help out a future generation when we have mad inflation right now and it, like, you know, very different now than it was when we went to school. So why would you oppose somebody getting their student loans paid off to help give them a leg up? It shouldn't take away from you what somebody else is able to get.
And for me, it's, I think when we look at somebody not having grit or wanting that softer lifestyle, it seems like an opposite, right? So you either have drive and you have the grit, or you're basically just going to phone it in. And I think it's in the middle, right? Like, it's, you don't have to have the grit and rake yourself over the coals, but you can still do a good job and show up 100%. And honestly, it's conversations like this that change what the labor, we have an 8-hour workday because of the workers. People attribute it to Henry Ford. It's because of the workers pushing back, and that's where they came up with the 8-8-8 structure. So it's movements like this that sort of craft the workday and help people evolve into a happier version of themselves.
I think it's kind of like a perspective and attitude thing, because I do agree with what she said at the end, that you don't necessarily have to struggle to be successful, but I do believe that you have to struggle to live. So either way, you're going to struggle. Huh. You're going to have hardships. You're going to have hard times, whether you're successful or you're not successful. That's just the way it goes. And everybody's race is different. Some people are going to have to work harder. Some people are not going to have to work so hard. But either way, you're going to go through things, and how you see it is going to determine, like, exactly what you do with the things that you have to go through. That's what I think.
Here's where I disagree with this, you guys, and I'm going to piggyback on something you just said. You don't have to struggle to be successful. I think you do. I really think that you do. Now, it depends on what you want at the end of the day. If you don't want to make a whole bunch of money and you want an easier lifestyle, then you don't have to struggle as much. But it depends on where you want to go. You cannot be what your definition of success
there
is.
There it is.
All right. It's
there
what it your definition of success is. My definition of success looks what it is right now. And I had to bust my ass to get there. So all I'm saying is, like, if you want a high level of success, like a Gary Vee or somebody that you might see online, you have to bust your butt. And if you don't get it, you can't blame that on the system. All right. You can't complain that things are expensive. You can't complain that you're working day and night based on where you want to be, what the end goal is. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No, you summed it up by saying what your definition of success is.
Right.
And I think that determines as far as whether what your struggle is going to be.
I don't think you're not a successful person if you're making $40,000 a year and you got a couple of kids and you are happy. That to me is the only definition of success, is happiness. Mm-hmm. This is my definition of success. And so I had to work harder and pay dues and really bust some ass to get here. But if your definition is different than that, that there is nothing wrong with that. That's the only definition of success.
No, I completely agree with you. And, like, for me, my perspective, I think I do both. I think I bust my ass, work hard to get what I want, and in the end, I complain that I had to work so damn hard to get it. Sometimes you do both.
The Burt Show.
All right, so what do you got going on in your life you want to share with Burt Show fam around the country? You go ahead and email us, and she thinks her 10-year-old might have a stalker, but she's not exactly if this is cute or creepy, because it's not an adult we're talking about here. Cassie's got the email.
My 10-year-old son got this note placed in our mailbox yesterday. No postage, just placed in our mailbox, indicating that this is from someone in the neighborhood who clearly knows where we live. If this were an adult to me, there'd be no question that this would be fairly terrifying and borderline stalkerish. But as a kid, is this crossing a line, and is it something we should be concerned?
Okay, before you continue, scroll down to the bottom and read what the note says so we have an understanding.
It says, "Hi, we have not spoken in a while. I miss you, ... I think we should talk again. We could make it work out. We can both be better with a heart. All I think about is you. Can we speak again?" And then there are two boxes, yes and no, and it says from SI, and there are two kisses on the envelope. One's kind of smeared, and it looks like a child's handwriting. And it's important to note that this note was left in the mailbox. It's actually from a dad, and it's his son who got the note. So he writes, "I remember being that age and how powerful those pubescent emotions can get, but there's an intensity to this message that might be overstepping, but I'm not really sure. While most of it seems relatively harmless, the lipstick on the envelope and the line, quote, 'we can be better,' to me, is a bit over the top. Here's the kicker. We're not even sure who this is from. He has several friends that he occasionally plays with outside, but he doesn't really have any girlfriends in the neighborhood, as this letter would imply. So the feelings are definitively unrequited regardless. I think I might know who it could be, with the only clue being the initials at the bottom, but I'm definitely not certain yet. There is also a very off chance that it might be directed more at me. My son's name was not actually in the envelope. As if it is who I think it might be, I've suspected that she may have developed a little crush on me personally. If that's true, it definitely needs to be addressed, and I think I could handle that very sensitively. But assuming it is directed towards him, should I just let this go, or should I address it with her parents? Any recommendations? If it is who I think it is, she is a very sweet little girl, and I wouldn't want to embarrass her or get her in trouble or anything like that, as I think it really is more sweet than concerning, but I could use some advice either way. Should I just leave it alone and see how this plays out? See if it happens again? Any advice?
I mean, as I look at the note and like the smeared lipstick kisses on it, he says he has somebody who he thinks has a crush on him. I don't think that note is from an adult.
No.
I do think it's from a child. And to me, it screams like sleepover prank. Like you're like a bunch of little girls got together. And so it strikes me as harmless. Could there be sincerity to it? Maybe. But if I were them, I wouldn't do anything about it.
I wouldn't do anything about it either.
Yeah, I think it's harmless. I don't think it's a big deal at all. And I do hope that letter is not from an adult.
That's the scariest part of the whole scenario. If it could be.
Yeah, I also think it's harmless. I mean, I think if you're really concerned, like if it happens again, that might be an opportunity to step in and maybe tell the parents just so they know what's going on. But I wouldn't freak out about it too much.
I don't know.
Come on.
Listen, for me, it's this line. All I can think about is can we speak again? So clearly, either the son or the dad has had a conversation, probably totally innocent and innocuous, with this kid, this girl. But it's coming off as stalkerish. And I don't know. Maybe a 10-year-old doesn't really pay attention to that sort of stuff. But I would be freaked out. I'm trying to put myself in the dad's shoes. If my daughter received a note like this, or my son did, I would be a little weirded out, especially when it's like, I think we can both be better. All I think about is can we speak again? I miss you. It's coming off as if there's a relationship or they've been flirting before.
The only thing that's a little strange to me is if you're a 10-year-old, are you really using commas and capital letters?
Yes.
And this one seems,
are you one year away from middle school?
Don't matter.
Oh, no.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe not in text, but I feel like you took a letter writing class.
You're in fifth grade.
Okay.
Honestly, having a crush is a little bit like being a low grade stalker, because you get you're like looking at their social media. I mean, hopefully they're not just like walking around walking by the house and staring in the windows. But it's a little bit like being a little stalkerish.
It's been a minute since anyone's expressed attraction to me, so I'm a little rusty on this.
I think this is really adorable. I wouldn't say a word about it.
And I mean, I don't know if it's adorable, but for 10, it seems very
10 to 10. That's adorable.
Yes, and the fact that they're doing it actually on paper and not through like social media, online somehow. So yeah, I mean, keep it as evidence.
I would shut it down. I would check the no box and just write, I have a girlfriend. Seriously, just shut it down nicely. And then that way it's done. You don't need to call anybody else. You don't need to talk to their parents. Just know, and just make up that you have a girlfriend. Done.
Who do you give it to?
You put it in the mailbox of the person who you think it is.
Oh. But what if it's not that person?
Well, then somebody else is going to have a mystery, and next door is going to be real interesting.
It's another morning show's problem. That won't be ours at that point. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.